like home, right? And so feeling at home here is like, you know, I feel like, you know, we are all connected, you know, brothers and sisters, not only in general as, you know, in the church, but I have a relationship with this church, especially, you know, with the ministry here, your pastor and, you know, the Johnstones and everybody. Good to see Brother Berglund, who always bless us ministering in Kent. Amen. Good to see my sons that I always, you know, treat like sons to me. Good to see Brother Toscani here. Amen. Love you, man. Look. Amen. And Jerron is one of my sons. Hallelujah. Praise God, it's family. And actually talked to them, Brother Jerron and my daughter Darlene, to, you know, come to Puyallup, you know, because our service is in the afternoon. They could always come in the morning and, you know, have a special touch and blessing, and you know, and it's always good to have, you know, it's not bad to have, you know, church in the morning and church in the afternoon, and if we can have it in the evening, you know, hey, it's Sunday, it's the Lord's day, amen. Praise God. Always enjoy the worship. Always enjoy the atmosphere in this church. And being asked to preach in the last minute. Woke up this morning, found a text. And like, all right. Well, when the Bible says be instant in season, you know, I always find that a bit true. It happens all the time. Standing in the pulpit, I prepared for a lesson or a message for a few days and been reading and excited about it. And as soon as I stand behind the pulpit, it's changed. And so got to be ready every time. I would like to read from the scripture a familiar story from the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Amen. Chapter 32, I'm sorry. And we'll be reading from verse 24 through 30. Excited about my son, Miko, and his new family. Amen. When I raised that baby up in the air and asked God, Lord, you have your hand upon this baby as you had your hand always upon my son. You know, watching my son growing up, you know, it's always obvious to us and the people around him. And again, sorry, Miko, he doesn't want, you know, us to talk about things. He doesn't want us to put him on the spot or he doesn't like that. Sorry, I just want to say this, but the Lord's hand is always upon him. The anointing of the Lord is always evident in his life growing up. Even when he was a kid, when we were missionaries in Hong Kong, they will always put him in the finale, you know, in the main event of special programs and concerts, and because that's the time that they know it's time for the people to get emotional and weep and come to the altar, and it happens all the time. Sometimes, you know, they will dress him in like a pauper, you know, like ripped shirts and all that, and then he will sing a song and that will crush the people's hearts and they'll come. I hope he remembers that. Amen. But I prayed, just as how we prayed for Miko, you know, when he was little growing up, I prayed the same thing. And not just that, I prayed for a double portion of God's blessing upon this baby's life growing up. And I'm claiming that in Jesus' name. Genesis 32, verse 24 through 30. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. As he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob." Everybody say, "No more Jacob." "But Israel." Say with me, "Israel." "For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it thou that dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Amen. Can we stand on our feet a little bit and let's pray? Reverend, would you pray? Hallelujah, please. Oh God, Lord, we ask, Jesus, for your will, what you want to accomplish. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. So, I was praying this morning, and I was a little, I don't want to say panicking, because, you know, it happens all the time to me when I'm preaching. You know, when you get nervous, you know the feeling, right? Especially when you're unprepared, right? But talking about being ready all the time, say, "Hey, this is what I do. This is what I do." So I keep encouraging myself. I'm called to do this, so I got to have this. So I started praying, started reading, and it's got to be something. And he said in the text specifically, "Don't worry, you just pray, and God will tell you what to say." Isn't that what he said?
Right.
Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, let me pray. I prayed. And the more I prayed about it, I'm like, wow, this is hard. Okay. And then as I prayed about it, and I read the Bible, and, you know, trying to get inspired for the service, and seek after what God's will and direction upon the church. Because, you know, as a preacher, you have to know the audience. You have to know the people. You have to know the family. You have to know who you minister to. And so imagining and thinking in my mind the congregation that I will be ministering, and what do I say, and how am I going to preach, and, you know, how am I going to get received by the people and all that stuff. And I'm like, well, the more and more I think about it, honestly, I'm like, whew, I'm nervous, because, you know, in Puyallup Church, you know, we have pros, and we have, you know, great people, and they're, you know, the atmosphere here, you know, they walk in the Spirit, and, you know, you feel the Holy Ghost all over the place and all that. And like, how am I going to, you know, make sure that I'm not just doing it and pushing it, you know, what I want to do and in what I want to say, and, you know, and so I'm going to have to write down things, make sure I don't make mistakes and all that stuff. And in the middle of it, God checked me. I'm like, when was it ever about you? When was it ever about your word? When was it ever about your church? When was it ever about what you're going to say? I have a word to say. I have a message to say. I have something to minister to my people. God checked on me and like, okay. What is it that you want to say? That's another story. Then I began to ponder and think about it. Okay, Lord, this is the situation. I'm going to be standing there and I'm going to be preaching, but I just want to make sure it's your word. And not, you know, not me. And then that came to me, the story of Jacob. Remember Jacob, when he was facing his brother Esau, it was a serious threat to him. It was intimidation. It was, you know, it was a big challenge that the Bible says he was sore afraid. He was so intimidated. He was pressured and so stressed out that he's not ready to face up that challenge, right? You know the story behind the story when, you know, why he was afraid to meet his brother? Because he cheated his brother. That's why the name Jacob is supplanter, a deceiver, a cheater, a liar, right? And so because of that, he was afraid that his brother is coming to meet him to avenge, you know, to revenge and to take what was taken from him, the birthright, the promise of blessings that Jacob took because of his deception. And so he was trying to imagine and trying to read behind the lines. He was thinking all about that, what his brother was going through. He lost everything. He lost what he could have been his and all the blessings. And now Jacob is being blessed and God's upon him. And whatever he touches flourishes. You know, it's blessing after blessing. And he's thinking about his brother. He must be so mad. You know, he must be ready to kill me and wipe it out. Now, thinking behind the line, Jacob was trying to imagine what Esau was for when he met Jacob. Because at first he sent messengers to Esau that I'm coming home and I want to be at peace and, you know, I hope everything's going to be all right. And then he sent the messenger saying, you know, we will give him the peace offerings and all, you know, the gifts and everything. And, you know, just to appease, just to, you know. And then he thought maybe, but what if he's after the blessing that I took from him? What if he's after, you know, getting it back? What was him? So he was so afraid. He was nervous. He knew in order for Esau to take him, you know, his blessing back or the promise that's supposed to him back, he needed to wipe out Jacob. And not just to wipe out Jacob. It's to wipe out everything in his family. He had to wipe out everything in his family, his wife, his children, everything that's connected to Jacob in his bloodline in order for him to be able to take what his back. And so Jacob was like, he's going to kill me, but not just me. He's going to kill my two wives. He's going to kill my 11 sons. He's going to kill all my livestock. He's going to wipe out my future. Wow. And so he was so nervous. And he knows what his brother is capable of doing. Coming to him to meet him with 400 men. And all he's got was shepherds and animals and his children, you know. He was so afraid. And so he had a strategy. Say, okay, this is what we do. Why don't we divide? I'm going to divide our group into two bands. One going this way and one going that way. Just so in case. If Esau will go for the other band could escape. And will still survive. And so we still have a survivors in my family. And the blessing and the promise will still go on and live on. It's all about the legacy. You see, sometimes the enemy will be threatening you and intimidate you and go after the root and the source of your walk with God. And because he's after the whole legacy, he's after your family, he's after your resources. Amen. Because once he eliminated everything, then there's no more future about your relationship with God, about your walk with God, about your calling with God, about your ministry. Amen. That's what the devil is after. Amen. And so that's the plan. But then he said, it's got to be better than this. And so he took he sent his messengers and to go after Esau and present him all the gifts and telling him that Jacob's behind them. And so to make sure that once they meet him and take care of him, then maybe, his heart will be melted and be compassionate. And, maybe he'll be ready to meet after me and, and be merciful and consider all the gifts. Then he said, I don't think that's going to work. What I did was so serious. What I did was something that, it will not just be appeased by the gifts. So what he did is after he sent, the messengers, he took his family, went by the river, by Jabbok River, and from there he separated his family, and the Bible says he was left alone. When he was left alone, he knew it has to be God who needs to take care of my situation. It has to be God who would put things in place and will rescue me and deliver me and save me from this problem. And so he prayed. The Bible says he prayed. We know the story. It took him like a long night. And it's not just praying for a long night. It was a wrestling type of prayer. It was a struggling type of prayer. It was a prayer that meant so serious that, he would not let go. He would not be defeated by weakness and tiredness and, the intimidation, but he has to prevail in this praying time. He's not going to stop until he got an answer from God. Right? Sometimes, when we pray, we get up too quick, before we get the blessing. Sometimes we get into a prayer time, we have a serious need, we have a situation, but then, before the blessing comes, we're done. We get impatient. But Jacob struggled all night. The Bible said he wrestled with a man, and that man appeared to be an angel. An angel, right? And when he wrestled with an angel, amen. He said, I will not let you go. When the angel realized that Joseph is not going to let him go, that he's not going to stop and he's not giving up the fight, the angel realized how serious he was. Amen. Got to be serious in our praying. Got to be serious when we get before the throne of God. Got to be serious and not take it lightly when we have a need and we have a situation that we don't get up so easy. Amen. Before God gives us the answer to our praying, to our question, to the blessing that we want. Until we feel good about it, that God spoke to me. Amen. God gave me something. I believe God answered my prayer. Amen. So Joseph, Jacob. I was gonna say the story of our Sunday school teacher when one of them said, and Joseph parted the Red Sea, and then the assistant teacher is like, what are you talking about? It's not Joseph who parted the Red Sea. It's Esau. But it was Jacob. And he prayed. And he prayed. Amen. You know, I was believing that when he prayed, because he was so overwhelmed with the threat of Esau, he was so overwhelmed and threatened and so afraid with the thought of his brother's revenge against him. You know, it's all over him. He's being possessed with that threat. He's being possessed with, you know, with the situation. It's like a big problem. So I believe that when he was praying, God, I pray for Esau. God, I'm so afraid of Esau. God, please take care of Esau. God, take him out of my way. God, let him turn around. God, Esau, Esau, Esau. Can I tell you something? Sometimes we keep asking God about a problem and we name this problem so and so, you know, different names. And we, you know, we complain to God and we whine and we ask God's mercy and we beg God, God, remove this problem. God, remove this issue. God, take me away from this trouble and this situation. And God says, Esau, it's not your problem. You have too much Jacob in you. Esau is just the byproduct of Jacob. Your problem is just the byproduct of you, what you did in the past. It's because of you being a deceiver. It's because of you being a liar. It's because of your weaknesses. It is because of your sinful nature. It's because of what you want to do in your own hands. It's because of you being a supplanter. It's because of your nature. That's why you have this problem. You created this problem. Amen. And you come to God and ask God for, Lord, take care of Esau. Take care of Esau. And God says, Esau, it's not your problem. You are the problem. You have too much Jacob in you. And until we get rid of that Jacob from you, amen, you're not going to be able to overcome. You're not going to be able to take, we're not going to be able to take care of the situation. Amen. We've got to take care of Jacob first. I've got to deal with you first. I've got to take care of your nature first. We've got to get rid of that supplanter nature, that deceiving nature, the sinful nature. You have your weaknesses as a man, and that's what puts you in trouble. Amen. I can take care of Esau, but until I take care of Jacob first, there's more Esau that's going to come your way. You will end up running in circles. That same problem will come over and over again until we take care of Jacob. And I'm speaking to some Jacobs here today. I'm not saying that you're a deceiver. I'm not saying you're a supplanter. I'm not saying you're sinful. I'm not saying that you do this stuff that's evil and all that. But maybe we've been trying to engage ourselves doing our own thing our way. Trying to manipulate our future. Trying to navigate the future in our own hands. Trying to put things, the matter in our own hands. Amen. And then when we get to the very point that we're hopeless, that we don't know what to do anymore, and we ran out of our resources, then we come to God. God, help me. Then God says, God, take care of you first. God, take care of you first. Amen. Hallelujah. So he wrestled. Bible said he wrestled and wrestled all night. Amen. Until the angel said, what is your name? He said, deceiver. My name is supplanter. My name is cheater. My name is liar. And the angel said, can't bless you until we change your name to Israel, meaning the Prince of God, who contended with God, who wrestled with God, who never let go of God until God blessed him. Amen. Hallelujah. See, the battles that we fight is not more on what's happening in the outside, but it's more on what happens and transpires in the inside between us and the Spirit that is within us. Our brother read the scripture for whereby given to us precious, great and precious promises so that we might be partakers of the divine nature. Amen. The divine nature is the goal of the Spirit in us. And so that we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If we want to overcome the situation that we want in our struggles and the problems and the situations of our lives, amen, if we want to take care and make sure our future is bright, then stop walking after your own will. Amen. But after the Spirit of God that is in you. Amen. The divine nature in you. When was the last time we faced in the mirror and look at the divine nature instead of being so focused on the Jacob in us? This is what I want to do. This is what I'm going to do today. This is where I'm going. This is what I want. How about the divine nature? How about the spiritual nature in you? How about the Prince of God, the child of God in you? Amen. When the devil comes to you and try to condemn you about your past, you're a liar. You're a cheater. You could not accomplish anything good in you, in your life. You mess up all the time. We have the Word of God. Being a child of God with a divine nature in us, we can slap the Word of God in the face of the devil. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no more condemnation in the child of God for them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Not walking or living after Jacob, but after God. For we are a chosen generation. Amen. A royal priesthood. A peculiar people. So that we might show forth the praises of him who called us from the darkness of the world into his marvelous light. That is the path that God wants Jacob to go. Amen. I want you to meet your brother. I want you to go there with confidence that everything's going to be all right. But make sure you don't meet him as a Jacob. Amen. You believe in my presence, in my leading, in my promises. Amen. And guess what happened to the story? Amen. You know how big it was for Esau to get that blessing back? It's huge. It's all not just his future, but his family, his descendants' future. It was so big for him. And he could just get it back easily with his 400 valiant men, wiping out all the descendants, the best opportunities down there in the road. Because all of his descendants, Jacob's, are all there. Could be wiped out very easily. But when he got rid of Jacob and became Israel, became a child of God, became a prince of God, the Lord turned things around. Amen. And when these brothers met, oh, what a beautiful reunion, as if nothing happened. How they missed each other. Amen. You know, how they hugged each other. and how they exchange blessings to one another. Hallelujah. Would you rather be living as Jacob in your daily life or walk after the Spirit? Amen. As a child of God. As a child of God. Why don't we all stand together? That's just a short word that God put in my heart to say, don't worry about you. When was it ever about you? When was it ever about your word? When was it ever about your ministry? When was it ever about your church? I'm like, okay, God, speak. I'll just follow after your leading. And God is telling me right now, there's someone here today. You don't know what to do about a situation that is coming to you, that you're facing right now. You're so afraid. You're nervous. You're scared. There's something about what's on your path that you don't know how to deal with. But remember, maybe it's something that happened before your generation, or maybe in what you've done in the past. Maybe about your weakness, about your sinful nature, about your old nature. Amen. But I can promise you one thing, just like what God did to Jacob. All God wants for you is to obtain the blessing. All God wants for you is to take that victory and be reconciled. Amen. To what God wants you to have and to be. Amen. He wants you to face the challenge of life with the assurance that in God's hand, in God's leading, in what the Word of God says, you will trust in the Lord. Amen. You will trust in the Lord. Not thinking about what's going to happen, but thinking that God will take care of you. Everything is going to be all right. You may not have the answer. Lord, I don't understand. God doesn't expect you to understand everything. All you need is trust Him. Amen. Walk in the guidance of His hand. And commit yourself to God, Lord, and be honest with God and say, Lord, I want to get rid of Jacob in me. Oh God, let me walk as your child in where you lead me and guide me, Lord. Let me follow. Let me do things in your own way, oh God. Don't let me put the matters in my hand, but God, you hold the future in your hands. Today, Lord, I put everything into your trust, in your hand. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Reach out to the Lord right now. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Ahead. He knows the situation that's down the road for you. Would you trust Him? Would you put your life into His hands right now? Would you put your life in His keeping today? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Though the storm rages on and I can't find my way.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Still I will trust you.
Still I will
trust you.
I'm going to open the this altar, would you come and talk to the Lord for a few minutes before we leave this place today? Let him make a change in your life today. Just like the word was taught, let him bring change about your life. Let him change the course and direction of your life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. You know what's best for me today, Jesus. I know what I've prayed for. I know what I want. But Father, you know what's best. And I yield myself to your plan. I yield myself to your purpose. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You feel today. I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. I trust you.